Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good evening, and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. My name is Renee Erickson, filling in for John Whitmer this evening. We are happy you joined us tonight here at your local liberal resistant headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. We are pleased to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to call in, our studio lines are open. You can reach us at 316-869-1330, by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. One quick programming note. There's still time to purchase your tickets for the Kansans for Life 2024 Banquet. It's coming up this Friday, April 12th, at the B29 Dock Hangar and Visitor Center. The event is sure to be a fantastic evening featuring CEO of the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon, with Master of Ceremonies, our very own John Whitmer from KNSS. Human rights can't be canceled, not now, not ever. This will be a wonderful evening. I hope you will join us this Friday night. Well, we have another great show planned for you tonight. Coming up here in just a few minutes, U.S. Senator Dr. Roger Marshall will be with us to discuss the impact of Joe Biden's border crisis on the U.S. economy, the impeachment of Secretary Mayorkas, and why he voted no on the recent $1.2 trillion spending bill that many say will nosedive America deeper into crippling debt. Attorney General Kris Kobach will join us to discuss why he's suing President Joe Biden over the president's latest student loan forgiveness plan, calling the administration's program a scheme. Nicole McCaw, producer and host of the Border War series, will try to explain how, despite the U.S. Supreme Court's decision allowing Texas to proceed with Senate Bill 4, lower appellate court ruling just put the law on hold. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will walk us through the latest poor performance numbers on Biden economics and try to explain why Kansas has a near $5 billion surplus, yet the legislature has devoted barely 10% of it to cutting taxes. John and I will bring you our weekly Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka, and of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Well, this week in Topeka was Conference Committee Week, which ends with what we lovingly refer to as Drop Dead Day. As you can imagine, everyone is running around the Capitol with their hair on fire to get their pet project funded or bill passed. And legislators are often given the analogy that this frenzied wheeling and dealing is like playing 3D chess on multiple boards at the same time. This analogy reminds me of a famous painting, but unlike the unseemly horse trading, it actually gives me hope in the midst of all the chaos. I want to share it with you tonight, based on an article written by Charles Morris in Haven Today. If you know anything about the game of chess, you know it all comes down to when the king on either side can move no more. Once the king is trapped, the winning side declares checkmate, and the game is over. There's a painting that once hung in the Louvre, painted by Friedrich Retz. Today, the painting is popularly known as Checkmate. The painting depicts two chess players. One is Satan, who appears arrogantly confident. The other player is a man who looks forlorn. If Satan wins, he wins the man's soul. And the lone spectator is an angel. According to legend, a chess grandmaster came upon this intriguing painting. He stared at it for a long time and finally noticed something surprising on the chessboard. The typical interpretation, that the devil had the man in checkmate, was incorrect. Though the devil seemed to be the obvious victor, he was in fact not winning. The man who thought he was losing was actually winning. According to the arrangement of the pieces left on the chessboard, the king had one more move. This fateful move would make him the winner of the game. The grandmaster called the curator and determined that the title checkmate did not fit the scene because the forlorn-looking player actually had the ability to defeat his opponent, though he didn't realize it yet. His king had one more move. So often in life, we consider the world to be a mess, and there's no greater reminder of that than this last week in Topeka. With tax debates, abortion at an all-time high, party infighting and dysfunction, unprincipled people seemingly winning, we can easily become disillusioned and disheartened. It's often hard to tell who's who. It's not always obvious who Satan and the forlorn man are as we go about our daily lives. Depending on the issue, Satan and the man may change sides. Sadly, the people of Kansas are often the pawns. But there's no doubt who the king is, and he has one more move. Headlines like Kansas legislature bubbles over with fury and frustration as lawmakers Buck Kelly Hawkins scream checkmate, and people begin to believe it and feel that we've lost. But the king has one more move. So it gives me hope in the midst of the battle when it seems that we've lost, the pawns are getting taken out, our opponent is arrogantly confident, we do not need to worry or fear. The king always has one more move, and he can't be defeated. Kansas is very fortunate to have a fairly solid conservative delegation representing us in Washington. With us now is a true champion for liberty and conservative principles, Senator Roger Marshall. Doctor, thank you for joining us this evening.
Renee, it's great to be with you, and I'm so glad you kept the Johnny Cash walk-in music with John Whitmer being gone. I was wondering if I'd had that chance to listen to Johnny Cash and the Tennessee Three, so thanks for having me tonight. I just landed in D.C. and ready for another week's of work.
Doc, you know I had to have that for you. There was no way you were not going to have your intro song.
John, I didn't know you were on, too. It's great to talk to you as well.
I tend to just sit back and you know, kind of run the board, so to speak. But, no, I had to make sure you had your song, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, it makes for a much better show, getting me in that patriotic mood to fire up your listeners.
Well, I'm glad you made it safely to D.C., Senator, and have a quick question for you. The U.S. Border Patrol has nearly 250,000 encounters with migrants crossing into the U.S. from Mexico in December of 2023, according to government statistics. That was the highest monthly total on record, easily eclipsing the previous peak of about 224,000 encounters in May of 22. Unless we change things in November, do you see anything changing?
Yeah, Renee, nothing will change unless we change the person sitting in the White House. Joe Biden has proved that with the stroke of his pen, he can eliminate Donald Trump's policies. And we went from less than 1,000 people crossing our border illegally every day to up to 10,000 people crossing our border every day. Thanks to Joe Biden, we've had 11 million encounters now, illegal encounters at the border under his watch. 250,000 young adults have been poisoned and murdered by fentanyl thanks to Joe Biden. So nothing is going to happen unless we make a change in 200 days. 200 days from now will be the election, and we need to send Joe Biden packing and elect Donald Trump back as president.
Couldn't agree more. Boy, that sounds like a short time for all that needs to be done. But the statistics you quoted, Senator, what about the number that's on the terror watch list? We've heard that there's more arrested at the border in 17 to 21 combined, and we're less than halfway into 2024.
Right, Renee. There's been over 350 known terrorists arrested, and that's the small number. The bigger concern I have, there's been approximately 2 million gotaways. So those are people that at the Border Patrol are sitting there doing their job, lots of times just rendering first aid, hydrating people, and then they look to the distance and they see people escaping. So under Joe Biden's watch, almost 2 million gotaways that have never been vetted. So if we've caught 350 known terrorists on that watch list, how many of you think were in that 2 million gotaways? I mean, even to think that if it's 10%, that's a huge number. And this is why we should impeach Secretary Mayorkas this week, and then in 200 days, fire Joe Biden.
That is a great segue into the next question I have for you, Senator. Speaker Johnson has indicated that he will deliver the articles of Secretary Mayorkas' impeachment to the Senate on April 10th and then call on the Senate to hold a full trial. How quickly could that happen, and is there any chance the Senate would impeach Mayorkas?
Right. So this is exactly what's going to happen is Wednesday, those articles of impeachment will be brought to the Senate. They're going to swear in the senators as jurors, and Chuck Schumer's plan is to table it. His plan is to table it. For the first time in the history of this country, the Senate will not have an impeachment hearing on someone who's been impeached on the House side. I think that's why it's so important that Americans are watching what's happening. When I was back home all last week, a lot of times we were in the Wichita area. We were down in Kingman and Pratt and Hutchinson as well. But no matter where we go, the number one concern people have is the safety and security of their families. We did a crime roundtable in Wichita, goodness, just 2 or 3 weeks ago. And of all the things I'm going to remember is one of the officers said, we cannot arrest ourselves out of this problem, that crime due to the drug traffic and human trafficking is just exploding. And that's, again, why we need to impeach Secretary Mayorkas. But Chuck Schumer is not going to let us do that. I just hope that the people from those swing states, from those purple states whose senators are up for reelection this fall are paying attention, because all it would take is two of them to flip. If you need two of those senators flipped from those purple Democrat states, we would proceed with the trial. But Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer don't want no part of the trial that's exposing all their sins and their tragedies.
That's so disappointing to hear, Senator. And so is that a Senate rule? And is there any workaround or anything that can be done to remove that from being tabled?
Right. So the bottom line is all it takes is a majority, a simple majority to table it. But I can assure you we're going to go down swinging and we're going to do everything we can to make sure America knows that all it would take is just two of these Democrat senators from purple states like Montana and Ohio that are up for a reelection. If we can get one or two of those to flip, then we can stop that tabling procedure and then go through with this trial. So we'll do everything we can, every parliamentarian maneuver that we can. Over the past week, Mike Lee and Ted Cruz and John Kennedy, I have been collaborating, trying to figure out how we can slow that process down and get this trial that America is demanding. But that just goes to show how scared Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer are. They know if this is the front page story for the next week, it hurts their chances in November.
Well, thank you for fighting. We appreciate it, and we've got your back here at home. Again, we're visiting with Senator Roger Marshall. Senator, turning to some of our economic issues, Biden drained our strategic reserves in a desperate and failed attempt to gaslight the American people that gas prices were coming down right before midterm elections. Now he's refusing to restock our oil reserves, leaving our national security hanging in the balance. Is there anything Congress can do to replenish our petroleum reserves?
Well, I hate to say this again, Renee, but it's elect Donald Trump president. Look, Joe Biden declared war on American energy, American agriculture the first day he got in office, shutting down the Keystone Pipeline for starters, and then draining our reserve all because of his incompetence. He drove the price of oil up by making it harder to drill. It is next impossible now to get a permit to drill oil on federal lands. And we don't have a lot of federal lands in Kansas, but we have a large oil and gas segment. Growing up there in El Dorado, we had three refineries when I was growing up. Where I live in Great Bend, oil is a big part of our economy as well. But Joe Biden has declared war on American oil. At this price, it's really expensive to go back and refill that strategic stockpile. But the best thing we could do is retract Joe Biden's policies so that we can start drilling for oil again. And, you know, this is one of Donald Trump's top three pledges is to drill, baby, drill. So the number one thing we could do was to reelect Donald Trump as our president again.
Let's do it. So, Senator, you voted no on the recent $1.2 trillion spending bill. And first of all, I want to say thank you. And in a statement explaining your vote, you said the bill would, quote, nosedive America deeper into crippling debt, end quote. And it did seem like there was a lot of unnecessary spending in there. For example, $2 million for a clinic that does hormone therapy on kids, $850,000 for gay senior housing, a Department of Defense abortion travel fund, $2.5 million for late-term abortion providers in Rhode Island and New Hampshire. And I could go on and on. There's a lot more of this nonsense, but I do have to ask why. Why would any Republican who calls themselves a conservative or pro-life vote for this bill?
Well, Renee, unlike you at the State House, who has a constitutional requirement to balance the budget, there's no such thing in D.C. This is a travesty. Our $34 trillion national debt is the number one long-term threat that our nation faces. No matter whether you think that schools or roads and bridges or high-speed internet or a strong military are your priority, when we're spending a trillion dollars every year in interest, there's no money left. So America is now spending $1 trillion a year in interest. I would love to see John Whitmer's face right now. It's probably just boiling.
Oh, it is. It is. Trust me, it is.
They're good, good. So Renee, there is over 600 pages of earmarks in this legislation, 600 pages. And we're given 24 hours, maybe it was 48 hours, to try to read through them. This is the same old story, what Chuck Schumer, what Joe Biden wants. Is every year to threaten to shut the government down and then bring in a multi-thousand page $1 trillion of spending and say, take it or leave it. And that's why I'm working on a budget process. We actually have budget laws that says that Congress is supposed to do a budget. We've not done one in decades. So I'm working, always sitting down with the Republican conference in 2 weeks, trying to figure out how can we put teeth so that the president is required to submit his budget on time. And if he doesn't, then let's take away the pay of his appointees. Let's take away his travel budget. If the Senate doesn't do our job, I would love to take away our pay or take away our travel budget. Whatever we can do, we need to go back to a budget rather than just basically a cost-plus spending when people come in at the last second and say, what do I got to give you to get your vote? And that's what ends up happening. They get people's votes by giving them pork. It's a sad state of affairs. Again, $1 trillion of interest this year. The number one challenge to the future of our children and our grandchildren is that national debt.
Well, I so appreciated your interview earlier on Cake, where you mentioned we're saddling our grandchildren with this. And as a grandmother of three, boy, that hits home. And it just makes me sick to my stomach what we're doing to our kids and our grandkids. But, Senator, I know we have to let you go, but I do want to ask you a really quick question. I saw that you tweeted something earlier this week that Kansas families can't afford another 4 years of Joe Biden. And you shared a statistic that Biden's inflation is costing Kansas families an average of $961 more per month. And it just looks like congressional Democrats just don't seem to care. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Renee, you nailed it. As a mother and a grandmother, Kansans are spending $1,000, almost $1,000 per month, just on their basic necessities for gas and groceries, to pay their rent, to pay their utility fees, $1,000 a month. If you think the average Kansas family, let's just say they're taking $6,000 or $7,000 a month home, that would be a generous salary in Kansas, and they're giving another $1,000 away just to start the week off with. There's no way a young family can live that American dream anymore. The cost of a mortgage, that monthly payment has doubled under Joe Biden. That alone, you know, just kills this American dream of having owning your own home, you know, maybe a pickup truck, maybe a little fishing boat. But those days are gone under Joe Biden. That's because he's printing money like it's going out of style. As this federal government borrows money, they have to print dollar bills to cover that debt. And then they continue this continued attack on American agriculture and American oil and gas. And those are both inflation multipliers. Whenever energy is going up, Everything else just seems to be an inflation multiplier. We have to get the cost of energy under control. We have to stop borrowing money. That's the only way we're going to get ahead of inflation and bring interest rates down. People ask me, are the Feds going to bring interest rates down? I don't think much, because Joe Biden is still printing money. As long as he's printing money, it's driving up interest rates. It's that simple. It's basic econ 101 that I learned over there at Butler County Community College under Coach Ollie Isom.
I tell you, it's shameful, and I tell you, I appreciate you fighting for us. And if folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X at Roger Marshall MD and online at marshall.senate.gov, correct?
That's it. Yeah, marshall.senate.gov. That's a great way to find us. Twitter at Roger Marshall MD. Renee, it's great to be on with you. I appreciate the job that you're doing. I appreciate John's continued words of encouragement out there as well. And 200 days until we get to fire Joe Biden. 200 days. Let's count them down.
Can't wait. I can't wait. Well, thank you for all you do in fighting the good fight. And thanks again for taking time to join us this evening.
You bet, Renee. Take care. Take care, John.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, last month, the Kansas Attorney General's office announced that Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach, in collaboration with 10 other state attorneys general, is suing Joe Biden over his administration's latest student loan forgiveness scheme. The multi-state lawsuit argues that the U.S. Department of Education doesn't have the authority to alter student loan repayment plans, essentially canceling more than $156 million in student loan debt. It also argues that the U.S. Supreme Court struck down an earlier version of Biden's illegal student loan program last summer. With us now to walk us through the new lawsuit is Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach. General, thank you for joining us this evening.
Great to be with you, Renee.
Well, General, you referred to the president's latest student loan forgiveness plan as a scheme. It sure does seem like that's an attempt to buy votes. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's we can't say for sure what his motivations are, but boy, the timing sure looks suspicious. The first version of the Biden student loan forgiveness program was launched in 2022 during that election cycle. And all of a sudden we hear the president and his staff touting this new one in the 2024 election cycle. But what's really most striking about it, even more than it's, you know, the fact that it does seem to be an effort to curry favor with younger voters, people in their 20s and 30s who have student loans, is the fact that he's doing this right after the Supreme Court struck down his first one. And this one isn't all that much different from the first one. In June of last year, June of 2023, the Supreme Court 6-3 decision held that the first Biden loan forgiveness scheme was unlawful. There's no such authority for the U.S. Department of Education to forgive these loans. Only Congress can do that. And then Biden, about a month and a half ago, bragged, and this is a quote, "The Supreme Court blocked it, but that didn't stop me," end quote. And then they basically continue to unroll the second chapter, or version 2.0, of the student loan forgiveness scheme. But the idea that a president would, right after Supreme Court strikes down his program, then launch the program in a slightly modified form, but it's still the same program, is just outrageous. I mean, not since the Civil War era have we seen presidents, you know, just simply telling the Supreme Court, "No, I'm going to ignore your decision." And that's really where we are now. And it's an example of the lawlessness in the Biden administration, where they increasingly don't seem to care that the law doesn't support what they're doing. And they make a, to give you an idea, Renee, of what the sort of pretext or the fig leaf of an argument they try to cover this second try with is, they say, well, the statute, the Higher Education Act of 1965, does allow the department to modify the terms of loan repayment. But you and I know what terms of loan repayment is. If we go to our bank, we want to ask for a change in the terms of loan repayment. We know that's not asking to make the loan zero. That's changing the number of years that we have to pay it off, maybe changing from a fixed rate to an adjustable rate. Those are terms of loan repayment, and the key is repayment. But what Biden is doing is, for the majority of borrowers, erasing the loan completely.
Well, it just seems like it's a blatant disregard for the law, Mr. General. But and we need to also realize that these loans aren't being forgiven. It seems the debt is being transferred from students who owe the debt to taxpayers who never asked for the loans and didn't benefit from them. Is that accurate?
That is exactly right. In addition to its illegality, it is really, really unfair because, the money to forgive these loans or cancel these loans, did not come out of thin air. It did not grow on trees. It's taxpayer dollars. And so the taxpayers, many, indeed, a very large percentage of the taxpayers who are paying for these loans never took out a student loan themselves. Many of them did not go to college, perhaps because it was too expensive. Many of them worked their way through college. Others saved for college before going to college, and all to basically transfer money to people who racked up a large amount of student debt. It's completely irresponsible, literally irresponsible. The people who are responsible for that debt are not having to pay it back, and it's on the backs of hardworking Americans who did not attend college, or at least if they did attend college, did not rack up lots of debt.
Well, Mr. General, we always hear about how much more people who do go to college make than those who don't. And it almost seems like this is the reverse Robin Hood of robbing the poor to pay for the rich.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no question that the net effect will be to transfer wealth from lower income Americans to higher income Americans. It's just so outrageous. And, Renee, this is Biden is the leader of the Democrat Party. But I have heard from people on Capitol Hill in Washington that many, many Democrats are fuming about this because, there are still quite a few Democrats who claim to represent the blue collar worker. And those Democrats are saying, what in the world are you doing, Mr. President? You're basically taking money away from blue collar working Americans and giving it to people with graduate degrees and loads of student debt.
Seems to contradict their usual talking points. But again, we're talking with Attorney General Chris Kobach. And Mr. General, you are joined in the lawsuit by attorneys general from 10 other states. Do you feel confident the court will side with you?
You never want to be too confident going in. I think at the end of the day, if this case goes all the way back up to the Supreme Court again, I'm very confident that the Supreme Court will side with us. In the intermediate court, there's the Tenth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, and it's a randomly selected panel of three judges. So in a case like this that is highly watched and on a controversial subject, it's hard to predict until you know who the judges are. But I think in this particular case, it's so brazen what the administration is doing, and it ignores a Supreme Court decision from less than a year ago. Where the Supreme Court said, this was on version 1.0 of the Biden loan forgiveness plan. The Supreme Court said, this is a major decision that only Congress would have made. That one forgave $430 billion, tried to forgive $430 billion of student debt using a slightly different approach. And the court said, something of this magnitude, spending this much taxpayer money, is not a decision that Congress would have delegated to the executive agency of the Department of Education. Well, this version 2.0 that Biden is now pushing is, by their own estimation, by their own admission, at least $156 billion, but it's likely to be way more than $200 billion because their calculations are way off, and they have acknowledged as much. So this is almost as large as the first one. And again, Congress wouldn't have authorized, back in 1965, wouldn't have anticipated that an executive agency without any congressional statement, without any congressional approval, would have been able to spend $200 billion. It's just not conceivable that Congress delegated that major question to an unelected agency.
Well, you wouldn't think. Now, since we have a Supreme Court ruling from last year, do you think this lawsuit, the 2.0, will move through the process any quicker?
It might. It should. We will be, of course, relying on last year's precedent when we make our case to the courts. We've already, just 2 days ago on Friday, we filed our motion for a preliminary injunction, and those tend to move pretty quickly. And we have asked for expedited consideration of this. We'll be conferring with the Department of Justice attorneys tomorrow, Monday, and seeking to expedite the schedule. So it should move quickly. There is an urgency to this because the Biden administration is sending out letters by the thousands every day to people, forgiving those loans. And, these letters have a tone of, oh, here's the gift. Here's your goodie. And they're, it appears, doing this to make sure that people have a really good feeling inside about the Biden administration in the run up to the November election.
Chris, is there any chance that there's a link at the bottom of the page? By the way, campaign donations to the Biden campaign, link on the bottom. Sorry, I just had to throw that in there because it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
There's not, but it's so just obvious what they're doing. They don't need to put a link there, but they're banking on this, not buying votes, but currying so much favor with these voters. And of course, the Biden administration, as we've all heard, is not getting the massive percentages they would like to get with the younger section of the electorate. And this might be one way for them to bump up their percentage.
Well, General, we're coming up on a break. But before I let you go, I do want to ask you about another case. Earlier this week, A federal judge blocked a Biden administration attempt to drive gas-powered cars off the road. Can you tell us about that decision and how it may impact Kansans?
Well, it's another decision where Kansas was part of the group of states that sued. We were not the lead state. In this particular, with the student loan forgiveness plan, Kansas is the lead state, and that's why we filed suit here in Kansas and why my office will be taking the reins and arguing it. In the other case regarding the automobiles, I believe the lead state was Kentucky, if memory serves correctly. It's a great decision. Hopefully it will hold up on appeal. But, by what the Biden administration is doing, of course, is it's a war on fossil fuels. It's driving up the price of vehicles. It's pursuing this ideological agenda of a, carbon neutral future, which is simply not obtainable. They have all kinds of assumptions, as many people know, that it simply cannot be realized in the near future. And it hurts American consumers. And on top of all that, it's illegal. They don't have the authority to take these executive actions. If Congress wanted to do this, Congress could do it. But the Biden administration, because they are unable to get things to Congress, for good reason, the people's representatives don't want to do so many of these things, they're trying to do it all through executive action. And so that's a similarity between the two cases, using executive action to do what the statutes do not empower the agencies to do. And that's why we have been successful in so many of these lawsuits, getting the Biden administration's actions stricken down. Another one was the EPA standards for coal-fired power plants. Got that struck down. Just one after the other, the Biden administration has been doing things that they do not have the authority to do. And one thing that's emerged is the so-called major questions doctrine. 4 years ago, this was a sort of a dead letter. You really didn't see many cases talking about it. But now it has become a new powerful tool in the hands of attorneys arguing these complex cases. And that is simply that Congress would not have delegated such major questions to an executive agency. And it's an argument that gives us a lot of ammunition in court.
Well, I'm sensing a pattern of behavior here from the Biden administration. Appreciate you fighting the good fight and appreciate you joining us this. And if folks want to connect with you, they can find you on X at ChrisKobach1787 and online at ChrisKobach.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. KRISKOBACH.
Well, so great to have you on this evening. And thanks again for joining us.
And my pleasure. Great to be with you.
Kansans for Life 2024 banquet is coming up this Friday, April 12th, at the B29 Dock Hangar and Visitor Center, featuring CEO of the Babylon Bee, Seth Dillon, with Master of Ceremonies, John Whitmer from KNSS.
Are you planning on attending that, by the way, Renee?
I wouldn't miss it.
Yeah, it should be fun. Do you subscribe? Are you following the Babylon Bee on Twitter? Do you follow our X? I still call it Twitter. They're always harping on me. Tony, my boss here, is always reminding me to stop calling it Twitter and start calling it X, but I still call it Twitter. So
it's a hard habit to break.
That's a good song, by the way. That should be a new And Andrew, that should be a new intro music for us. Hard habit to break.
There you go.
Can you find that in the stack? See if we can have hard habit to break. But do you follow the Babylon Bee?
Oh, I love it. In fact, in our family, we're always copying and sharing their headlines.
Oh, their stuff is hilarious.
It's great.
If you don't know what the Babylon Bee is, it's a satire site. And I mean, Tucker Carlson really is the one that helped them gain a lot of their fame. But Seth Dillon is the CEO. He's a conservative. He's very pro-life. And they just do some incredibly hilarious stuff on there. I mean, you know, stuff like, I saw one recently, AOC was awarded a, you know, Nobel Peace Prize for science or something like that. You know, I mean, it's that kind of stuff. It's just out. And don't get me wrong, they poke fun at both sides.
They do.
They don't discriminate. They've poked fun at conservatives and they poke fun at Democrats. They poke fun at anybody who deserves to be poked fun at. But their stuff is just hilarious. But I highly encourage listeners, if you don't follow them on X. See, look, I learned. If you don't
there
follow
you go.
Them on X,
good job.
Look it up. It's a Babylon Bee. It's absolutely worth following. They're hilarious. But no, seriously, you should come. If you don't have tickets, again, it's coming up on April 12th, my mother's birthday, which is, you know, she's gone now, but I always, fond date in my memory is April 12th. So make sure you join us on Friday night for the KFL banquet.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.